want you to pull out your Bible, John chapter 6, and what we see as we're looking at this today is that we see in the very beginning of it, we see Jesus getting out of a boat. Jesus is getting out of a boat, very common form of transportation, and he is at the height of his popularity. I mean, people are so excited to see Jesus. I mean, there is momentum, there's a buzz. Every time Jesus is somewhere, people want to be around. Everybody's tweeting about Jesus. They're like, where's Jesus? That's where I want to be. Hey, he's over here. Let's go over here. And people are moving towards Jesus. And that popularity is just going through the roof. And the reason why is because people see Jesus and they see supernatural things take place. They see that their needs are being met. They're seeing that food, they're seeing that finances, they're seeing healing take place. And they're like, wow, we want to be around Jesus. We want to see more of those things take place. So we've got this crowd of people that Jesus is getting out of a boat, and they're like, wait, here's Jesus. And so then they tell their friends, and they tell their friends, and more people start to show up, and we start to see a crowd. We start to see people coming. It's right before the Passover. And let me explain what the Passover is. We see it in the Old Testament, and we see it in Exodus. And what happens is that God has given a way to forgive us of what we've done wrong. And so in Exodus, it talks about how Moses allows there's a Passover once a year, and you bring a sacrifice. So you bring a blameless lamb for a sacrifice. So I would give this sacrifice to God. And what would happen is it would pass over the home. And so your home was safe. And so just a beautiful thing, because before that there was no salvation, and now through the Passover lamb there's salvation. Well, I want you to know that Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus is our salvation. And John has this chapter 6 completely laid out. As he's sharing when Jesus shows up and people are getting ready for Passover, that Jesus really is that Passover lamb for each one of us, and there's salvation in the air. There's an excitement. Have you ever been around something where it's like everybody's like, what's going to be next, man? What's going to go on? What's going to happen? That's exactly what's taking place. And I want you to know that people are coming, and they're coming, and they're coming. And we see more and more people show up. We see where there is 5,000 men is what the Bible says. And if there were 5,000 men, what that meant is there were 5,000 men. Now, they probably had their wives. They probably had their kids. So we're talking easily between 10 and 20,000 people. See, the parents didn't, they couldn't just leave their kids alone with a television set to watch Disney Plus or Netflix. They brought their whole family with them. And you saw all the people there. And they're all waiting for Jesus. And Jesus ends up as he's looking at the crowd, and as his disciples are around him, he ends up reaching out to Phil. And he says, hey, Phil, you know, tell me about this. What should we do, Philip? There's all of these people here, and they've got to eat. There's no food court. There's no caterer. There's no restaurants or stores or anything. I mean, we're kind of out of nowhere's land, and all of these people have shown up. And so Jesus asks them this question. And I think of, like, in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it's about the people coming in. And it's, so what are you going to do? He's asking this question. And he's kind of testing them. He's like, so what are you going to do? What do you think that we should do about this situation? And I want you to understand that when we are around God, God will ask us questions. And it's not for information. God's not saying, oh, I wonder what Philip's going to say, or I wonder what Rich is going to say. No, he has the answer. The reason why God asks us questions is so that we can bring out what we think, to bring out who we are. Guys, some of the biggest healing things in a counseling session is when people can actually start to verbalize what's going on in their life. They have it in their head. They're thinking about it. Oh, yeah. But then what happens is as we start to say it, it's like, oh, my gosh, that really is what I'm thinking. That really is what I'm saying. And we bring clarity. Now there can be accountability. Now I can do something about what's in front of me. And that's what Jesus wants to do with Philip. He says, what are we going to do about this? Huh? What should we do? And what I want you to know, what Jesus does, if you got your study guide, the very first thing, Jesus shows the possibilities. Jesus shows the possibilities. Jesus shows what's possible. When we communicate, when we engage with Jesus, he wants to show you the possibilities of where you're at, the opportunities that are in front of you, the needs that we have. See, God wants us to understand those possibilities that are in front. See, so many times we're very limited with how we see things. Someone will say, Rich, what do you think? Very, very small. What does God see? God sees something so much larger. And so we see Philip's response. And this is how he responds to Jesus. He basically just lays out the facts. And he says that it'd take about 2 months of people working really, really hard. If we had our whole team working for 2 months, we might have enough money to be able to feed all of these people here. But the fact is, we don't have that money, and we're not going to be able to do anything. Guys, it's really important. The second thing to write down is to recognize where you're at, to recognize and say, this is where I'm at. You know what? I don't think we can do anything. I don't think anything can happen at this point. And Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. And he is the provider. It's just like in Deuteronomy when I was thinking before, is that who Jesus is? He's the one that provides. And so Jesus is going to show this to the crowds of people. And I want you to understand that he wants to show them that he's the one that provides. And I loved how Jesus was saying, what should we do? The greatest thing that we can do is to let go and to let God do. And that's what we see in the scripture here. And then we see Andrew. And Andrew is one of the disciples. And Andrew overhears what's going on. And he says, oh, wait a second. I do know someone that has food. I saw a kid as he's walking in. He had a little Lunchable. He had some fish nuggets and some Ritz crackers and a couple Oreos, you know, and he had this, and maybe you could have it, Jesus, and it'll be a nice little snack and hold you over, you know, and what's important as we look at that and we see, you know, he basically, what Andrew is saying is there something here, but it's impossible. We're not going to be able to do anything with it, but, you know, at least we know what our environment is, we know what's around us, but we're at the end. And if you'd pull out your study guide, what we need to do is to surrender. We need to surrender. See, we see with Philip, we see with Andrew, they were like, there's just nothing we can do. We just have to let go of this situation. And here's what Jesus does, is when they say, okay, this is all we got the Lunchable, and we've got nothing else, Jesus says, all right, let me give you directions, let me tell you what to do. Have them all sit on that beautiful green pasture, have them all sit down, get everyone together, get them ready and prepared. And it's so funny, I never caught it before, but when I was reading the scripture this week, I was like, wow, doesn't that almost seem like the 23rd Psalm? You know, that he's saying, everybody, get on that green pasture. Just get ready. Just relax. The shepherd's going to take care of you. And as Jesus is getting them ready, getting them prepared, he told the disciples, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get them ready. So guys, the next thing that I want you to write down is our need to, from surrender, is the importance to obey. It's important that we obey. When we get to that point and we surrender and we say, God, it's yours, that we actually obey, that we actually do what Jesus is telling us to do. And as they did that, and Jesus took that lunch and he prayed over it. And the reality, it was some bread, and he broke that bread, and he just kept saying, hey, take the bread, hand it out, pass it around. And so after he blessed it, they're giving it to people, and they keep breaking bread, and there's more bread, and then he says, take the fish, and the reality is the fish probably looked more like what we have as like sardines and stuff, and he takes those sardines, and I'd be like, yeah, but everyone else was like, oh, that's great. And so they're taking the fish and they're eating the fish. And what the scripture says is that they kept eating the fish and they kept eating the bread. And it wasn't that they just got by, but they became full. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is all you can eat, fish and chips. You know, I mean, this is just, people are having this great time and they're all connecting. And they're like, wow, this experience, we didn't see this happening. But Jesus saw it happening the whole time. Jesus knew exactly what it is, and what I want you to write down is the next point. When you see a miracle, when you see God move, when you see something amazing, it's important to just watch. To watch. Write that in. To watch. Watch what God is doing. Watch, because we can miss it. God is doing amazing things in life, and we can miss it if we're not watching. Sometimes we can get so busy in doing good things and our chores and what we're supposed to do that we don't just watch what God is doing. We don't see what he's doing because he's the one that's really doing it. And then what I like is as you follow in the scripture, then you see that they ended up picking up all the leftovers. So it wasn't that they just had enough to eat. They were full. And then they go pick up the leftovers. And I was thinking about that. And I was like, how does that affect my life? What should I take away from that? And when you get the leftovers, it's to remember. It's to remember. Write that in. You need to remember what God's done. You need to remember those things. For some of you, you're not remembering your leftovers, and you've got that little carton of Chinese food way in the back of your fridge, and it's now like a science project and stuff, and things are growing in it. That, why? Because you don't remember. Oh, yeah, I would have ate that before stuff's now growing all over it. But here's the thing, is that God is doing amazing things. And we need to remember that. We need to share those stories. I had, before church today, a lady was sharing with me something of how God moved. It's a beautiful story. I want her to share. And at church sometime, because here's the thing, is that God does these amazing things, and he wants us to share what it is. He wants to tell people. Why? Because when we really talk about what God's done, who gets the glory? God does. And so we want to remember what he's done, and we want to share those things. Well, when they'd seen this miraculous miracle in John 6, verse 14, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we've been expecting. They were so excited. I mean, we're seeing thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And they're like, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been praying for. This is spectacular. We are so satisfied with what we see. But the reality is, as we read the scripture, Jesus didn't feel that way. Jesus wasn't as excited as they were about it because he knew what they wanted to do. They wanted to use him as a tool. They wanted to, now you do what we want, all right? You be our genie. You be our king. You do what we want. And Jesus knew, no, that's not who I am. And that is not what I'm going to do. And what's really interesting when you read the scripture, the word says that Jesus slipped away. So after this amazing miracle, after all these things going on, Jesus slipped away. He was like, I know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to push me and they're trying to do these different things. And I'm not going to play that way. I'm not going to go that way in life. And I just want to give you a little bit of insight that God gave me, is that for some of us, that's what we need to do sometimes, is to slip away. Not everything in life is about confrontation. Not everything about in life is having to debate and prove why you believe or what you think about things. Sometimes there's times in life that you know what is right and you know what God has called you to do. And sometimes you just need to slip away and to be with God. You just say, you know what, this isn't the time for a debate. This is the time for me to connect with God, my Father. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus just slipped away. And as he slipped away, the crowds are trying to figure out, where is Jesus? What's going on? The disciples, they go back down to the water. They're waiting for Jesus. And it's starting to get dark. And they're like, where is Jesus? Why isn't Jesus here yet? And then they pulled out their new iPhone 11, and then they looked at their calendar, and then they said, oh, we need to be in Capernaum. Jesus, he's got the memo, he'll meet us in Capernaum. And so they ended up, they felt very comfortable about it. We're getting on the boat. It's very common travel. This is what they do. Some of the people that were on the boat, that's what their whole family business was around boats. And so they knew everything about boating. This was very, very common. It's dark. Come on, let's get to the other side. Let's get to where we need to go. And as they get into that boat, and as they are on a trip that they've done, I don't know how many times, they're used to this. They're probably about 3 to 4 miles out. And I want you to know, when we look at the sea there, it's not quite as big as what we think of as an ocean. It's actually about half the size of Lake Tahoe. But they're out there, you know, and they're in the boat and they're rowing and they're starting to feel a little bit of wind. They're starting to feel a gust of things coming onto them. They're starting to feel things just start to move around them. It's dark. The wind hits. It starts to be not just a little bit of turbulence, but it becomes a storm. They're at their point, they're like, whoa, an actual storm is right here. It's in the midst of us. And what happens, the scripture says, is they saw Jesus near the boat. He's standing on the water. Jesus is walking on water. They're like, oh, wait a second, this is horrible. Everything's falling apart. And then they look and then they see Jesus on the water. And we're going from John's account because I think he's very specific, the things that he puts in it and the things that he doesn't put in it. But I want you to write this in your notes of what Jesus knows. Jesus knows about our storms. Jesus knows about our storms in life. Guys, for some of you, it's emotional. Some of you, it's physical. You've got relationships going on, these storms that are troubling. He knows all about those things. And he's not surprised by the facts. He's not surprised by the emotions of the circumstances. He gets it all. And they were just scared, senseless. They saw Jesus. That didn't make sense. The storm's going on. And the next thing I want you to write in is that Jesus knows it's not easy to recognize him. It's not easy to recognize him at times. Why? Because we get so caught in the situations of things that we don't see Jesus right in front of us. We can miss him. We can miss Jesus in the good times of life, and we can miss Jesus in the bad times of life. The scripture says in the end of verse 19, it says that they were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I'm here." Jesus says, it's me. Don't worry about it. I am here. And then it says that they took him on board. They took him on board. And I think he is very specific about the things that how John shared it. Now I want you to write this in as number 3. It's that Jesus knows that doubts will cause us to sink. Jesus knows that our doubts will cause us to sink. When we doubt Jesus, Jesus is in front of us. And we say, should I reach out to Jesus or should I reach out to Wells Fargo Or should I reach out to my counselor? Or should I reach out to my spouse? Or should I reach out to my kids or my parents or whatever, which are all good things. But what is best is Jesus. And so we can end up getting something good instead of what's best. And what happens is when we go for good, the boat ends up breaking. But when we go for best and we grab Jesus, that's when he saves us. And you read John's account, and I love because it's so quick. It's just like right after Jesus gets in the boat, everything's calm. And they're just pulling up to shore. Everything. And I was like, how does that match with our life? What is it that we can look at? And I see number four is that Jesus completes our journey. Jesus is the one that completes our journey. We think, oh, I just worked really hard and I No. It's his hand. He's the one that gives you breath. He's the one that moves your heart. He's the one that completes us to where we need to go. Well, okay, so we saw these two amazing miracles. We saw the miracle of the food, and we saw Jesus' rescue. Well, now we go back, that giant crowd of people, they're waking up. They're like, hey, I wonder where Jesus is at. I'd sure like brunch right now. Maybe you could fix a nice little brunch for us. And so they're all running around trying to figure out where is Jesus and where is he? And we're trying to find him. And it's interesting that they really wanted Jesus. They wanted some stuff from Jesus. And so they ended up, they took planes, trains, automobiles, whatever it would take to let's go find him. Let's go search out. Let's go find Jesus. And I want you to know, it's on your study guide, and you can fill it out later, but I want you to look at it, is what is it that you want? What is it that you want from Jesus for your life in 2020? What is it that you want from Jesus? Because we're going to see more and more of what the crowd wanted, what the fans wanted. What is it that you wanted? And we're also going to now look at what does Jesus want? What does Jesus want for each one of us? And we see something amazing starting in verse 22. We see the crowd says, Rabbi, which actually means teacher. They're saying, teacher, when did you get here? Because they finally found him. He was on the other side. They all came over, and they're like, Jesus, we've been looking all over for you. You know, teacher, where have you been? And Jesus starts one of the most famous and absolutely amazing discourse right here. He starts to share deep truth. He says, hey, this is what it's all about. This is why I've come. We talked about last week. Wow, Jesus shared a lot last week. Now listen to how Jesus responds to him, to the crowd. He basically says, you're looking for me not because of God, Not because of that you want me, you just want to rub the lamp. You just want me to give you your food. You just want me to give you some open bar. You just want me to give you an all you can eat. You just want some free health care. You know, you want from me, but you don't really want me. You just want me to do stuff for you. And it really ties in all of the pieces that have just happened, and they've seen Jesus, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle. John wrote all of those things. Why? So we could believe in Jesus. Because Jesus wants something bigger than just the temporal needs of our life. He wants to change our lives. He wants to bring healing. He wants to transform us. And so Jesus is saying, quit wasting all of your energy striving just to get food for today, just to get by, just to get a little more money in your checking account, just to get, no. I want to give you eternal life. I want to give you something that's going to last the test of time. And so I want you to write in today is that Jesus wants us to seek eternal life. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to not just live for today, but to live for a life. For eternity. And Jesus basically tells them, he says, I am guaranteed by God the Father that my works will last. Jesus is saying, what I do, that's what's going to last. What I do is what's going to hold for the test of time. And here's what they ended up saying. The crowd responds, and they said, We want to do the same thing, Jesus. We want that same guarantee on what we do. We want to earn our fair share. We want a piece of the pie, Jesus. And then verse 29, then Jesus told them, this is my work. God wants you to believe in the one he has sent. What work do we have to do? It's to believe in the one that sent. And they said, show us a miraculous sign. If you want us to believe, what can you do for us? Okay, so Jesus already gave the answer. He said, if you believe, I will give you life. And they're saying, hey, you know what? What can you do for us, Jesus? Can you add something else? And it's almost like that they're making demands on Jesus. What else can you give me? What else can I get from this? And guys, as we continue to read the scripture, we see that it's about Jesus. And so the second thing that I want you to write there is, what does Jesus want? He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to believe in him. He is the one he wants you to believe in. It's not about your good works. It's not about, hey, I'm going to clean up and maybe make Jesus happy. I'm going to work harder. Maybe eventually Jesus will like me. No. It's about just believing in him and trusting in him. We go over the scripture and we see about, you know, they end up saying, well, you know, Moses fed us food and what are you going to do? And Jesus is like, I am life. Moses is an example as God gave manna to him, but I'm the real deal. I am the real bread of life. And the third thing I want you to write in is that Jesus wants us to be hungry for what matters, in life. Jesus ends up afterwards, he says that I am the bread of life. We actually see that 7 times in the Gospel of John. This is the first time. And it all relates to the Old Testament. And it all relates to where they would say, I am, that is God, that is Yahweh, that is the one. And as Jesus says that, and we see it 7 times in the Gospel of John, he's saying, I am God, I am deity, I am the one to worship. I am the one that you've come to. And he shares that to them. And he says that whoever is hungry, whoever wants to never be hungry again, whoever believes in me will be satisfied. And as we continue to look at the crowd, we see almost kind of an argument going on. And they're wanting to argue. And Jesus is saying, no, this is who I am. Anyone who sees the Son trusts in who he is. And then he says that they have real eternal life. If you want real eternal life, it's only through Jesus. And so I want you to write it in as what does Jesus want? He wants to pull you out of death. Each person is just dead man walking. Each person, apart from Jesus, we're just on a slow decline. Some of us are going a little faster now, and we're just headed towards death. But Jesus is the one that gives us life. And so we see the scripture, and Jesus says that I am the bread of life, came down from heaven for you. And there's a thing I want to share with you in verse 43. They're totally saying, Jesus, you know, you're not that great, and hey, wasn't your dad Joseph? And they're trying to poke holes in everything about Jesus. They're really at this point from being great fans to being incredibly disrespectful, rude, and just aggressive people at this point. And this is how Jesus responds to them. Verse 43, he says, stop complaining about what I said, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last days, I will raise them up. Guys, write this in, is that what's our choices? We need to stop complaining. We have to realize, wait a second, we live in a fallen world that's sinful and all these things. We need to quit complaining and we need to turn to Jesus. We need to turn to him. He is the one that gives us life. As we look at the scripture, the next thing I want you to write in, and as you look at it this week, keep going over and over and over, we see that there's another choice. And what Jesus said is accept me. accept me for who I say I am. We keep reading in the scripture, and Jesus shares about his flesh. And I know sometimes people get freaked out about it. They're like, oh, wow, this is where Jesus says some things that are really hard for people. And this group of fans, I'll turn away and go in the different direction because it's too hard. It's too much for them. But I want you to know what you see is that Jesus gives you, you can choose to die. Fill that in as number three. And you can choose to live. Number four. See, you can choose to say, I'm going to hold on to this life. It's dead. It's dying. I'm going to control it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to be the one in charge. Or I can say, I'm going to die to my life. And I'm going to give it to Jesus. And he's going to give me life. That's what he wants to give. Jesus says, I've come to give it to you abundantly. That's what Jesus wants for each of you. This week, he wants you to have an abundant life in him. Guys, we go all the way down to the end. I'm going to start at verse 66. At this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. Now, it wasn't the 12, but it was that crowd of people, all these people that were following him. They just said, forget it. I'm done. Then Jesus turns to the 12 and asks, are you also going to leave? And I love this. In verse 68, Simon Peter replies, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. It's that choice. What are we going to choose to do? 2020, February, a little cold in Santa Clarita. I think it's going to warm up to 70 something. But right now, God has a choice for each one of us. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to hold your life? Are you going to choose to let go of it and to follow him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so incredible. You are so awesome. God, we thank you so much that you are the Passover. God, that you came in the flesh to lay your life down for each one of us, that we could be free, for each one of us bound in sin, apart from you, and because of Jesus, unlocks the key, breaks the chains. We don't have to be God anymore in life. We can let go and hold who truly is. And to hold Jesus. For some of you, that's making a decision to follow Jesus. So you've never made that decision. Maybe you've come to church. Maybe you've tried to be a nice person and you tried to do more good things than bad things. Maybe you've taken a class. Maybe you've given money. But you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. I want you to know right now, right where you're at, in the seat that you're at, you can just lift your hands and say, I give it to you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. I choose to follow you today. Right now. It's not a big, fancy, elaborate prayer. It's just you saying to God, I need you. I accept Jesus. I turn to Jesus. And the Bible says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He's going to hold you with every step you take. With every breath that comes out, he will be there. And when you take that last breath, he will still be there with you. If that's you, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day for that choice. For others of you, you've made a choice to follow Jesus. But there's a lot of things that you've been holding on to. You've been kind of using Jesus as your genie instead of fully surrendering to him. And for you, today's the day of being like, I want to get that right, God. I've been using you as a genie. It's all been about what I want instead of realizing what you want is the best for me. if that's you today, in either of those situations that you're like, you know what, today's the day God's really speaking to my heart. If that's you, I want to agree with you. I want to be able to pray for you this week. I'm not going to embarrass you. But would you just look up at me if that's you this week? If you're like, yeah, that's something I got to do. Yeah, I've got to surrender to Him. Yeah, God sees exactly what's going on. Yeah, God knows exactly what's going on. God sees exactly where you're at. He knows the things that you're letting go of. And He's like, it's freedom. This is the life that you were designed for. Oh, God, I ask that You'd be with each one of us. God, that we would just hold close to You. God, that You would flow through our lives. God, that what people see is You. God, that You would use each of us as a conduit this week. God, that You would use each one of us to be a city on a hill to shine to You. And we thank You in Jesus' name.